Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Lovework Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Lovework is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Yeah. Crosstalk Radio in the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
Like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is
it's
now.
Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Push and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican. Let's believe big things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show. Worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions, and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, no, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. We on the air like, here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, no, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome back to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Big Pudge.
Your man, Steph Swig.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
We got a special guest in the house today, man. It's a longtime friend. We've been knowing him. Me and Steph both been knowing him for a long time. You know what I'm saying? This goes by the name of Brother War.
Brother War, welcome to the show. Woo! Glad to have you here, man. It's been a minute since we chatted last time, but I can always say every time we talk is never light conversations. It's always a deep. There's no like small how's the game, how's everything. It's always a deep conversation. Always serious, but it's always good to be around you, man, and fellowship with you, man. I enjoy your spirit, and I enjoy all the controversial things you talk about. That's right up our alley, man, to talk about the same stuff you talk about sometimes. But man, how you been?
Oh man, I'm blessed by the best, man. I'm in a time of transition, but it's just preparation for the elevation.
I hear that.
That's what's and up. Celebration.
That's right.
I hear
that's
that. Right.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited about you, man. Because every time I talk to you, man, you be like, man, God's got me going in a different direction with this thing, man. And just by the way your music is, man, I'm excited to see what that's going to do, what God's going to do with you and your music and your calling, man.
Amen.
Because you have a powerful calling on your life, as much all of us do. But yours is like a little bit different than most people I've been around. Like you just have, like you talk about stuff that people don't talk about a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I say it all the time. I don't have a dimmer switch on my realness. I don't know how to like tone it down.
I like that. I don't have a dimmer switch on my realness.
It's on or off. Like, just be like quiet or keep it 100.
Yeah.
I hear that.
But that's kind of how we are on this show here. That's how we really are on this show.
I was about to say, ain't no kind of, that's what we are.
Yeah. So that's why we're glad to have you here, man, once again. You had a song you wanted to tell us about. Tell us about the song we're going to play.
Oh, yeah. This is one of my new singles. It's called Automatic Trill. And I'm getting a lot of love on it, basically because I'm sticking to my roots, that West Coast sound. So, you know, automatic, for me, being real is automatic. You know, just going back, you know, I got a song called Keep It 100. But the whole premise and the concept of the song is that it's trill automatically. And that has to do with the fact, why do I rap about God? I never was like, oh, I want to be a gospel rapper or a CHH or holy hip hop or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah.
I just always wanted to use my talent with writing, with creativity, with music, with rapping. I always just wanted to use it to say the realest thing possible. And I started out as a quote unquote revolutionary rapper, which you can probably tell based on a lot of things that I talk about.
Yeah.
But the greatest revolution is for the hearts and the minds of the people. And the one that sets all captives free is King Yahshua, is the Messiah, and that's what I believe. So that's the revolution that I am waging every day, and so that's why the song is Automatic Trill.
Okay.
All right, here it is, y'all. Automatic Trill.
This is Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill. Rap about the Most High, why? Cause he's trill. I just wanna let the whole world know the deal. This is Automatic Trill. Automatic Trill. Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill. Are you ready for the things that I'ma say to you? Are you ready for the meat or do you need the baby food? And if I dare to tell the truth, will you say I'm rude? Will you cop an attitude? Or will you bow your head and repent cause the Most High is calling you? Some of you just might diss me, that's what you probably do. But this is for the chosen few. Who are sick and tired and wanna do just what they supposed to do? Don't you wanna be who you was meant to be instead of a pawn in the game, your own worst enemy? Real men serve Yah, but the cowards just waffle. Without him in my life, the consequences would be crazy and my life would just be awful. Don't let these crazy religious folks make you ever hesitate just to get it straight. This is Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill. I rap about the Most High, why? Cause he's trill. I just wanna let the whole world know the deal. This is Automatic Trill. Automatic Trill. Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill. I'm a menace to the so-called Illuminati. They wanna trip and put a chip inside a human body. Time for us to strike blow for the kingdom like we knew karate. So you can do Pilates. You can stack your money so high, drive a new Bugatti. But if your spirit ain't right, then it's all for nada. Time to hit on these, repent and just call them Father. You think it's cool the way you're living, but it's really not. Consequences could be fatal when the world is really hot. You were made in the image of the Creator to be something so much greater than a carbon copy imitator. Make a real decision before you end up in prison. Cause the lifetime you're living, you need to drop it like a hot potato. I know you're feeling it deep down in your spirit and your soul, and you know that you was made for more. Time to give it all to daddy, time to let it go.
This is Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill. I rap about the Most High, why? Cause he's trill. I just wanna let the whole world know the deal. This is Automatic Trill. Automatic Trill. Automatic Trill. This is Automatic Trill.
And we're back. So, man, let me ask you, right before we heard your song, right before you heard that banger you just dropped on us, said something very interesting. I've been meaning to ask you, because you said you were a revolutionary rapper. Right. Said you never wanted to be like a Christian rapper or a holy hip hop or categorize as that. So what do you call yourself? You just a rapper, conscientious rapper? How would you describe your music?
One of the phrases, I don't know if I coined it first or, and I hear the GOM, they use it a lot, but I have a little bit, you know, of a small communication with Bizzle. So maybe I got it from them, I don't know. But I've been saying it for a long time, it's truth music.
Mm. Truth music, okay. Yeah. I like that.
So I think categories, people love to argue over like, oh, he's a Christian, this a rapper, or blah, 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 and they you know, and even Bizzle, he's more on the side, like, just name it and claim, own the title. But I think we're all artists. One artist does abstract. One does representational. I don't think that there is one approach that has to, one size fits all.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what direction are you taking people in? What is, and I hate when people assign false motives to other people because it really shows their heart.
Yeah, right,
you know what I'm saying? Right. Like people say, oh, you share your music so much because you just want attention. I'm like, no, I've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
I want fruit.
Yeah.
And I notice it. I notice the people that get fruit are the people who keep sowing over and over again. They get hated on. They get dissed. I've made so much more progress as being a completely independent, totally just just basically sharing my music relentlessly on social networking and on the streets as much as I can. And I've seen fruit because of that. Because a long time ago, I was like, man, how come, you know, people keep telling me, man, your music is dope. People sleeping on you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, it's time for me to just kick the dough in. Like, who cares? I'm on social networking to share my music. If you don't like it, oh, well, unfriend me.
Right.
No big deal. Let's just keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
If you want to be on social networking to take a picture of your meal or, you know, put a, you know what I'm saying?
He's not judging people. He's not judging.
That's your thing. You know what I mean? That's cool. That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I love chicken wings as much as everybody, but that's not my main goal. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah. That's funny. I don't get why people take pictures of their meals either. But
hey, I've taken pictures of my meals.
I ain't
man.
Mad at it. My wife
sits over here.
My wife just did it, so I ain't mad at it. She had the collard greens and the fried chicken, cornbread. You know?
I do it every now and then.
And the if black it's not eyed peas for New Year's.
Yeah, for New Year's, I got you.
So I, you know, that was good.
That's like, what's
it
up.
It was a nice picture, but you know, hey. That's just not my thing. That's not everybody going for a different reason. And that people need to just stop judging each other. Like, everybody's different. Everybody's path is different. Stop judging somebody how they do things, because that's not how you do things.
Mm-hmm.
And even as in the gospel, even in the ministry, a prophet is not going to do the same thing as an evangelist.
It's not.
You know what I'm saying? Because we different men, many members of one body.
Right.
I just get tired of people saying, judging a prophet by an evangelist standards.
You can't do that.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So it just annoys me. I'm like, look, I got mad love for you. You know what I'm saying? If you doing God's will in your life, even if it's not my cup of tea, God bless you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not hating, man, because I'm too busy worried about what I got to do. Why? You know what I mean? If you want to get hated on, please be a gospel rapper. Like, that's the best way to get
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Because everybody got something to say. If you was a worldly rapper, they would just, like, probably maybe even listen to you.
Yeah,
on the way to church.
Maybe just get on the way to church.
Right. Not give you no problems.
Man, I can easily get on that soapbox.
You sure would, because if you was a worldly rapper remixing another worldly song, ain't nobody going to say nothing.
We just had that conversation. Are you mad at me?
I'm just saying. But don't be no Christian rapper remaking a secular song. Boy, you get bashed for doing something like that.
I'm just tired of Christians being so fake and phony and so judgmental.
Amen.
And then they usually the ones that got the biggest skeletons in their closet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
Like they you were saying earlier. So,
sure,
you know, he preaches to the choir.
I mean, he's preaching hard.
The problem, though, is God has not given us the spirit of fear. Sorry, y'all did exactly what you said. God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this stuff is driven, a lot of Christians are so fear-based in everything that they're doing that there's no freedom, there's no liberty, there's no joy. And that's what's going to attract the world.
If
they see freedom, if they see liberty, if they see joy, they're going to want a piece of that. They don't want a piece of all of this other stuff, because I don't even want none of
it. I don't want none of it.
Yeah, right.
See, I was trying to get on my soapbox. See, y'all, you just keep on pushing that envelope, pushing me into this. I don't like
I'm
that.
I always do it. That's what I'm here for.
I know, man. No, that's not what you're here for. Totally different. But either way.
I'm here for realness.
That's right.
That's not what you're here for.
Unleashed. Get us on soapbox. Nah, unleashed. I appreciate it. But
I can quickly go into whatever you want to talk
I know you can, man. But the thing is, though, I feel the same way. A lot of times, Christians can't be Christians because of what other Christians are saying. And I was in that place before. I'm not there now, but it's like when God told me to start speaking on certain things, my concern wasn't even about the loss. It's about what Christians are going to say about me.
Whatever.
And that's not my personality, but I was so worried about that. It's like, what the heck is wrong with the pitch? If I'm worried about what Christians are going to think, I'm supposed to be reaching the world. So let me start. I just took that off, and I just started saying what God was laying in my heart to say.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, Swig's Corner, crosstalk, and all that other stuff. And I'm not ashamed or embarrassed by it. It just gets old, and it's a lot. And that's just me. But I can only imagine the pressure other Christians feel like you're talking about. Like, you know, you post certain things on Facebook. Now everybody's judging because you posted, you saw this movie. What are you doing watching a movie? Christians shouldn't do this. Christians shouldn't do that. I just get so tired. My relationship might allow me to watch movies that it don't allow you to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. You don't have to agree. Like, some people's relationship allow them to listen to other people that I wouldn't listen to. But I can't judge them over that. We just had a conversation about Christian listening to Jay-Z earlier today.
Right.
My relationship won't allow me to listen to Jay-Z.
Right.
My musical taste. I'm not a Jay-Z fan, whether or not he dissed Christ or not.
Right.
But that's my conviction. I can't put my conviction on other people.
Right.
But
right.
I just wish people would really listen to the Holy Spirit and do what they're supposed to do, as opposed to constantly exposing, trying to expose evil. My point is, you said something I liked a long time ago. And you said, if you're not going to talk, you can't talk about what you hate if you don't support what you love.
Amen.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
My point, and I always say, is like, if you could just show people Christ, that'll automatically expose the evil anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Mm-hmm. All right, so soapbox off, yo. Brother War's in the studio with us. We are glad
welcome
to
back
you.
To Brother War's.
Let's get really crazy.
Yeah, let's get really crazy now. That was just a warm-up, so that's out the way.
Brace yourself.
So, Brother War, man, I've been wanting you on the show because I see a lot of the posts you post, and you're posted right up the alley with the stuff we talk about here.
Right.
Elephants out, you know, talking about the elephants room, stuff people don't want to talk about. You talk about some outrageous things. I love it. I love it. Some controversial
it's
stuff.
That's where I live.
So. That's where you live. Yeah. So you talked about something that was very, very interesting to me. And I actually listened to the whole thing. You talked about seeing heaven.
Right.
And that was a very good on your YouTube channel. Tell people where your YouTube channel is real quick because they're probably going to check you out.
Yeah, just go on YouTube and look up B-R-U-T-H-A War, W-A-R. You know, I think they made you use your real name, so it's like, also it's under Silas Clark, S-I-L-A-S-C-L-A-R-K, my government name.
I saw it under Brother War.
Yeah, I saw it under Brother War, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I listened to it, and it was like, dang, man, people need to hear this, because a lot of times, it's one thing where people think you're coming from a religious standpoint,
right?
But when you paint a spiritual picture of, like, it's a spiritual room outside of this, and you paint it without the walls of religion, I think it has the power to break down boundaries and break down people. I mean, listen to get people listen to it that wouldn't normally listen to it because it's under a Christian realm or Muslim realm or whatever. But you just talk about straight spiritual stuff, what you saw and your experience. And the interesting thing about your story was that you're not even dead. You didn't die. Because most people, you know, a lot of times you hear people have died. They died or, brain dead for a little while.
NDEs.
Yeah.
Near death experience.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can you give us the meat of it? What happened?
Yeah, I have a lot of stories like that, but anyway,
we gotta keep it down to one or
yeah,
two.
We'll keep it. if we have time, I can go into some other.
Well, we definitely want to
keep. Yeah, because we stick with that one because I actually have something I want to ask you as far as what you was talking about in vision, as far as what you said. Like after I watched the video, it sparked a couple questions that I want to ask as far as your actual experience.
I'm trying to keep it simple because
with
Brother War here, man. And
I know, we'll be here for 5 hours.
We have five podcasts in one. So,
all right, so let's do it like this.
I'll tell my story. Yeah.
Give the we ain't gonna do that. Okay. You're gonna be number 13 minutes. His YouTube channel tells the entire gist of his encounter going to heaven from start to finish. Damn, you told me. See, you said give him the meat of it, but I'm like,
he
said I can do it quick. Give us the meat. Give us the meat.
Okay, what had happened was this was years ago, and I was in kind of shifting from backslider to really recommitting my life. But I always heard things from God, and I've always had little weird supernatural experiences. It runs in my family.
Okay.
My mother's side, she has a lot. Both of my grandparents on her side are a considerable amount of Native American. And I don't get in, but all human beings are spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But indigenous cultures, African, Native American, the people that are closer to that background tend to have a closer frequency to the spiritual world. I don't know why that is, but anyway, moving right along. So even though I have a lot of things that seem that back up my faith in Jesus and Yeshua, I encounter it in a very supernatural, almost like a native way. It's just like that's how I encounter things in a supernatural. That's why I'm such a diehard believer. But anyway, saying all that, I had been having demonic experiences. I've been having sleep paralysis. I saw a demon. I had all this while I was awake. One time I saw a demon. So that's also on my YouTube.
Yeah.
That freaked me out. I mean, it was very vivid, but so one night I was praying and I was like, God, I've seen all these dark side. Can I see your side? I didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
But I said, can I see your side?
Mm-hmm.
And that night I was the most terrified I've ever been in my life. So what had happened was I had a dream. I fell asleep. I didn't know he was going to answer my prayer at all. And I didn't know he was going to answer it immediately.
Yeah.
So I had a dream and I had a series of dreams. I won't go into that. It was pretty quick. And then I woke up from my dream state, and I felt fully woke, like fully awake, fully alert,
mm-hmm.
but not here.
Wow.
I was in when I say heaven, I just use that as a short version. I think there's different spiritual realms. So I was in a heavenly realm.
Okay. I like that.
So I don't know where I was. It was a heavenly realm. So I'm not saying it was the afterlife or anything, but it's similar to some near-death experiences that I've heard. So anyway, when I was in that realm, I did not have a physical body. I had like a ghost body. You know how they say they see ghosts and they're kind of transparent and they have an energy substance, but they don't have a physical substance.
Yeah.
I had an energy substance. I could not see myself, but I could feel it, but I could not sense legs. I could sense a head and a torso. And I was pretty much paralyzed. Like, I couldn't really move. I could only move my head. Below me was water, and it was like living water. It was below me. I was about 10 feet up, approximately. Time and space was different there. But I was fully aware. Like, I was very, very alert.
When you say living water, scared me. When you say living water, what does that mean?
I'm just saying that's the first thing that I could think of. I don't know what it was, but it looked alive. So I didn't see any humanoids. I didn't see it physical, like a people or like angels that look like people. All I saw was water, and then in front of me I saw clouds, but everything seemed like it was breathing.
And you said the clouds. Was, you said the clouds were are horizontal, like
right,
like
or, in the Old Testament.
When yeah, it
you mean vertical.
Yeah.
Vertical.
Yeah.
Going up and down.
Going up, yeah, vertical. Yeah. Horizontal.
And, well, basically the sense, I felt a presence. You know how you can feel someone's presence? So I felt a presence from the water. That's why I say living water.
Yeah.
And the water was moving, not like natural water. It was like pulsing. It was moving in a different
pattern. I've heard that water is a conduit on a spiritual realm.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense now. Yeah. I've heard that. Yeah. I've never done any research
and
on it.
So, if I hadn't experienced it, it would be hard to believe.
Yeah.
But it really happened, and I was more lucid than I am now. I was very alert, and it scared me. I was terrified. It would be like if you walked into an all-white mansion covered with mud. Like, that's, I felt very aware of how pure where I was.
Oh, wow.
And so the clouds had power. I think they were angels, or angels in the clouds.
Okay. Because
they had power. They had presence. And there was about four of them, and they were in, and they were pulsing, and they felt, they felt like entities. They felt like they had a personhood or a presence to them. And then behind, beyond the clouds, was the brightest light I've ever seen. And I know that was Holy Spirit, most likely. That probably that manifestation of God, but it was Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, you know, whatever. It was Him. I knew it was Him. I just could feel.
I got you.
And He was the purest, most powerful. But there, I didn't feel any condemnation. I didn't feel any, even conviction wasn't even intended. It was a pure, but I felt convicted. I felt afraid. Like when they say the fear of God, I understood that. Like I was like, oh, like I can't be here. Like I was more afraid than when I saw demons.
Yeah.
Like I was terrified, but it was a holy terror. It wasn't, there was no ill will towards me or anything. It was just pure. It was the most pure and the most power I've ever been.
It's like intimidating when you're saying like the fear.
Beyond intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah, just holiness.
And so
when that holiness was there, He said to me telepathically, He didn't speak, I didn't hear words, but it was just telepathically. The spirits often communicate telepathically. I know that much. And the Holy Spirit will speak to me, not always in audible words. He'll just say, don't do this, go there, do that. So He just said, you belong with me. And when He said that, I was terrified.
Wow.
And He lifted me up and pulled me forward in between the clouds, and I started going directly into the light. And I could only kind of move my head back and forth, like trying not to look at the light, but the light was so attractive that I kept looking at the light.
Yeah.
And I kept trying not to look at it. And I got really, really afraid. I kept being like, I can't be here, I can't be.
Yeah.
And I kept, and I just totally freaked out. And then I finally woke up because I was so afraid. But after I woke up, I had the most peaceful feeling that I ever had in my life, like the best feeling. So I went from being extremely afraid and then waking up, you know, in the physical world, and I just had the warmth and the, you know, the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And before that, I was very, very, you can tell, you know, I have a laid back side, you know, but I was very detached because I've been hurt a lot, abandoned by my mother, all kinds of issues. And after that, I was just like a hippie, like, hey, brother, I love you, man.
You know, you said that in the video.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I just feel that love.
Is that when you braided your beard
he
up?
He just feel, no, I was, I think I already had it. But I used to have three of them, and they were shorter. Yeah. But he just poured love in me, man. Like,
yeah.
He just poured this love inside of me, and it's always been there ever since. Like, I just have more of a love for people. I don't know how to explain it, but it changed me forever. And it makes me understand the fear of God. It's not the same as, you know, like, because that's confusing, right? You know, fear God, and then it says perfect love casts out all fear. Yeah. God is perfect love.
Yeah.
It's two different types of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I can believe that.
Yeah,
so is the fear more reverence that you experience?
Yes, and it's not even reverence. It's extreme reverence.
Wow.
Wow.
It's like if you were just in the presence of the most beautiful, most holy, most righteous, most pure, most powerful presence, how would you feel? Like God, but see, that's what's so beautiful about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He don't even have to convict you. When you're in his presence, you will just be convicted.
Mm-hmm.
I get you.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm reminded a lot of several stories that
that's great.
Yeah, you're great. I'm thinking about several stories that you heard in the Bible where it says it talks about people being terrified when they had encounters with God or the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening to your story on YouTube, and now it's still bringing it back to that mindset of, and it is like I've heard before. I've heard. And it's every time I hear the story, I do hear the person is terrified.
Yeah.
And the person is extremely scared, but I always hear the same thing. But it's not like a terrified, like if I'm scared for my life or I done seen, like I done seen a horror movie and now I'm scared to go to sleep terrified.
Yeah.
It's I'm not pure enough. I'm too filthy to be in the presence of how pure this presence is. I have never experienced that before, but I've heard it so many times, and it's like, to me, it's like a wow.
Yeah, I love the. I don't know if I love the experience. That sounds.
I'm actually afraid of it happening again.
Oh wow!
Yeah, because it was that terrifying. But I'm glad that it did.
Yeah,
and see,
even now, God is pulling me closer to Him, and I feel things, I sense things, I see things, I can feel spirits and all kinds of crazy mm-hmm. stuff. Not all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just at certain times. I operate in that way. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Later, I had church people explain what I didn't know. I'm not into all that.
Like,
I have church people tell me what I am and where it's in the Bible. And, oh, okay.
So what right.
Like,
call
God
you?
Would show me stuff before it would... God would show me stuff and I'd read about it in the Bible later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what God wants us all to do. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
People want to go to, you know, and it's good to study to show thyself approved. But God wants us to experience Him. God don't want us just to believe of Him. He said, depart from me, I know you not. God wants us to have a personal connection, a personal mm-hmm. relationship. And mm-hmm. that's where the power is. That's where the power is between us. You can know of me, you could hear about me, you could even talk to me, but once you really get to know me, that's where real love or mm-hmm. friendship or
yeah.
fellowship, mm-hmm. and that's what God wants for us as the body. You see what I'm saying? He wants mm-hmm. us to, we're not perfect, but He wants us to see the light that God put in each person and to pull that light and encourage that light. And that's what God is. God is a relational God. And trust me, He had to work on, because I'm the type of person, I can go be by myself. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sick of people. Like, I'm like, y'all get on my nerves. But God's love compels me to keep reaching out to even other saints. Like, that's not me. I'm like a loner. Like, I'll just peace out, dog. Like, y'all mm-hmm. get on my nerves.
I know.
And then I'll just go make beats or mm-hmm. eat some chicken wings and watch Netflix by myself. Like, that's my personality. It's a little bit of an introvert, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but God is revealing us to ourselves, because God made each person in His image. Each human being is so much more powerful of a being and an entity than we realize, because we see ourselves according to the flesh. But we were also in the spirit made in His image.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the exciting part about it, man. And God wants us really to experience His presence, His tangible presence. His presence changes you more than anything.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's what takes. That's what compelled me to get saved was the presence. It wasn't conviction from other people or going to church.
There you go.
I felt the presence, and I just knew at that moment that my life was wrong the way I had been living prior. Like, okay, I was justified all day until that moment. Like, all right, I gotta stop this. Okay, I need to be saved right now.
Right. And that's a very important thing. And I'm not going to touch the table. That's a very important thing that I need to stress. That I stress over and over and over again. This is something I stress constantly. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that makes me believe in Yahshua, in Jesus. It's not a story of some dude being nailed on a cross and you need this and you need that and all of this theology. Mm-hmm. That's not it. Now I've come to understand it philosophically, you know, our faith, and it really makes sense to me now. But it was the presence. It was like I would be I've participated in Native American ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the mosque, to Muslim ceremonies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been exposed to a lot of culture, and I found truth in all of them, and I found things that resonated with me, and I even felt a sense of camaraderie, and I felt energy.
Yeah.
But I only feel the power of the Holy Spirit when it has to do with Jesus.
Wow.
Mm. Not
That's
when
a very powerful statement.
Not when it has to do with fake church. I felt demons in churches. Mm-hmm. But when it has to do with the actual presence of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit kept telling me, Jesus, Jesus. Like, you know what I mean? When I was doing some soul searching as a teenager even. And I was leaning toward the Muslim. You know what I mean? Because I have a lot philosophically and worldview in common with Muslims and Rastas. You know, I listen to a lot of reggae. Mm-hmm. And the way that they see things socially, I agree with a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's more how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, what's up with that? I know there is a higher, I believe there is a higher power because I deal with all the spiritual stuff. But what about Jesus? And all I kept hearing was Jesus, the Holy Spirit, before I knew the the more correct way to pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why even though I prefer to use that, I've had demons flee with the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I've had them literally leave.
Yeah, they will.
And I have stories about that, too.
Yeah, they will.
Both of y'all got some pretty interesting demon stories.
Yeah, I loved it earlier. The stomach, man. I mean, just...
They could go to my YouTube.
This ain't about me and my stories.
No, I want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to hear. The guest wants to hear. You got to be a rude, you gotta really be a rude host, Fudge? You got to be a rude host?
Yeah, come on.
I'm glad he didn't ask for water.
Oh, shut up. Oh, it's just dovetailing on what you were saying. As far as like feeling the power of the presence. The first time I actually felt the power of the Holy Spirit was... somebody off the street just came into our church, you know, fully possessed, just right off the street. He was drunk, you know, and like in the middle of the service. And my apostle, which was my pastor at the time, which is a woman, she actually called on the men of the church. Like she gave and she was just like, she's like, God is calling on the men. And literally it was just me, me, my cousin, and my brother. And actually, we pretty much spiritual warfare. It like began, but I felt the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And I saw a disfigured, in the spiritual realm, as you know, carnal eyes can see a regular face, just a regular drunk face. But when you actually see in the spirit, you can see a demon actually on a person, and his face was disfigured.
It's almost like an overlap.
Yeah. It's like you see it, but then it's like a blur overlap, and the face was like cockeyed. Like
your spiritual eye sees something different than your physical eye at the same time.
Exactly. So when I actually spoke to the actual demon, not the vessel that it was had captive, the demon, we witnessed it flee, and I witnessed the disfiguration come back, like it leave and the guy's face come back together, and it was the feeling that I had within my entire body. I knew I was not present. I knew the Holy Spirit had taken over, but I felt all of that energy and all that power. And it amazed me so much to the point where it's one thing I was telling Steph that that scripture when it talks about how God left, but he left the comforter, and you have the power. You know what I'm saying?
It's good that I go.
Yeah, it's good that I go, because this is good for you and you're going to need this. And honestly, what I believe is you're going to also desire it after you come into fruition of knowing what the Holy Spirit is. So when it comes to, like, you know, dark things like that, I'm never scared, because I have witnessed the actual power.
Never scared.
Yeah. So it's almost like in the story when they was talking about the disciples going out and casting out, after the guys giving them Jesus gave them the power, they went out casting out demons and stuff like that. It's like, that doesn't scare me anymore, because it only doesn't scare me because I felt his power. So that was the first time I actually felt first time I actually saw a demon, I was like 7 years old. You know, I was in church and this dude was, I thought he was having like a panic attack or something like that. I was a kid, I didn't know no better. And I saw the men in the church grab him by his arms, and the church was so old, you know, back in the day, if you know anything about ancient buildings, they would build these stone buildings back in the ancient days and put gargoyles on top of the buildings to protect the so-called building. Well, my church building in Philly was that old to where it had gargoyles on the actual building.
Wow.
So in my mind, I'm a kid. I don't know anything. So the church was that old. Just to say how old the church was as far as like the floors. The floors were like stupid old. And I saw this 80-pound guy soaking wet, slaying three brothers off of him just by moving his arms and stump a whole hole in the floor.
Wow.
And as a kid, you know, I thought he had just done got some He-Man powers or ate some spinach, turned to Popeye. I was a real kid, so yeah. It amazed me. But when he turned around, he was like foaming at the mouth and, you know, saying and slobbing and stuff. So that actually scared me, but I didn't know what I was seeing at the time. I just knew that this guy that I've always seen be nice and sweet was yelling, screaming. His voice was extremely dark, and it had a dark sound, and you know what I'm saying? So it was, I didn't know at the time, that was the first time I ever saw a demon, but that's what it was. Yeah, it's manifesting itself. So, I mean, once you, and it's like Brother War saying, once you get closer and get a relationship with God, your spiritual eyes will start opening up for real. You'll be able to see things, whether you want to or not. Once you get to that level where it's time for you to go higher in him, he's going to start showing you things that you need to see, you need to hear, because it's all the benefit for his kingdom at the end.
Well, thank you for sharing. There is a strong message that I'm feeling that I want to spit out.
Come on.
And it's just stirring up in me. And that is, everybody, whether they're a believer or not, they have a spiritual curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how in entertainment, and even in music, the occult, it has a draw, because basically what I'm trying to say is us as believers should be manifesting supernaturally a lot more than we are.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I agree. Mm-hmm.
We are supposed to operate, because that spiritual curiosity, they may be drawn to the good side of the force instead of, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
We got a lot of people that are very spiritually curious. And so then they start to delve into the occult. They start to delve into esoteric mysticism, and they get deceived, and they get pulled into it thinking they're doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to think I would scare people away with the spiritual, and it actually draws the right people to me. Like, I take that risk and talk about it with people, and some of these, especially young people who are going that way, where mm-hmm. they're experimenting with drugs, because there's different portals, there's different ways of entry. I don't understand it all. I've just experienced enough to kind of understand certain things. There's right. more to it than I'm still curious. I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But we are, because Yeshua, Jesus said, greater things than these you will do. We are, so I believe that the reason, see, we want to blame the world for why the world is the way it is. I believe we, as the body of Christ, need to take responsibility.
Of course.
Yeah. We need to rise up and be the powerful ministers But I think that we are too busy on the fence, or we're too busy desiring the things of the world and being way too entertained by the world and kind of just saying, well, I just want to make it to heaven. No, that's not. The word says, let God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are supposed to be manifesting heaven here to bring people into the kingdom, not just save their soul, but to manifest heaven here. And that will actually bring more souls with us. Because it's God's desire that no man should perish. He called people from all nations. He called all people. That's his desire. But he's not going to usurp our free will. And we have been given a level of authority. So we're waiting on God to do it. He's waiting to do it through us. Why are we called the body of Christ? Because we are Christ, basically. We are him. Like, the Holy Spirit is Christ in us. And he's waiting for us. We're waiting on God too much instead of believing what God already told us to do. And that involves a lot of risk, though. So, you know, I've been starting to pay attention to some of these people who do a lot of healing. A lot of the people who actually healing happens through them. They prayed for hundreds of people that didn't get healed until it started happening. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to continually fail at doing the right thing?
That's deep, man.
Or continually to succeed at doing nothing. And not get frustrated and give up. Are we willing? Like, we need to seek God, because the road to success is always paved with failure. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, that's
so we as believers need to be more risky. The world is taking risks. They're like, look, hey, I didn't succeed at this business. All the best entrepreneurs, they fail most of the time, usually, but they just didn't give up. But us as believers, we're so tied into the worldly system that we're like, oh, that didn't work. I don't want to do that again. I got yelled at because I told someone about Jesus, and I'm not going to do that. We too scary. Like, and it's not about being religious and condemning people. It's about loving people and taking a risk for their benefit. I'm trying to touch your life. It doesn't matter what you think about me. Even though I'm human and it's going to hurt my feelings, it's a bigger, we need to take more risk in love, not in being a moral watchdog. And bro, because you can try, they trying to clean the fish before they even caught them. Like, we need to catch the fish first, then help them to get
right.
You absolutely ain't even got the fish and you trying to poke it with a knife. It's in the water still. Like, get it on the boat
first.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
a good one. That's a good analogy. I like that for real.
So, you know, that thing is, what it is I don't even try. I mean, I still struggle with a lot of things as a man. I'm a full-blooded, passionate human being, you know, a Scorpio, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is, it is my passion and my love for God. Not, we got to get past the fear into the love. When you really, really love God, I just don't, even if God says, well, you know, you can do this and that and it's not good, but you'll still make it to heaven one day. I just crave his presence. And when I do things, when I start thinking wrong or acting wrong or entertaining wrong things, his presence is pushed further away from me. And I can't stand that. I want to be more intimate with God. It's that love that we need people. We need to fall in love with God every day. Just like a marriage, too many people just have this wrong idea about Christianity, about religion, about Jesus, about, it's all about this relationship. It's like a marriage. He describes it as a marriage. He describes it as all of the most intimate human relationships, marriage, father, son. You see what I'm saying? All of these things, we need to have a more intimate relationship with God instead of just saying, hey, man, I just don't want to go to hell. So I'm going to try to be good, and I'm going to believe the right story. And it's deeper than that. But if we keep it on that, we are not going to ever operate. Because even Paul talks about this, I think it's Colossians. Don't quote me. But he talks about everybody's works will be tested by fire. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that.
I'm familiar with it.
And he says, though they themselves will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So people think it's just heaven and hell. There's a lot more to it than that. And I believe, you know, you're talking about near-death experiences. I started researching those because of what I had, even though I didn't die. It was very similar to a near-death experience.
Yeah.
There was a lot of similarity, so I was curious about it. But almost all of them said they had a life review where they had to watch their life. And some of them weren't even believers in Jesus, but came to believe in Jesus after they had that experience. Yeah. And then other people said they met a being and they didn't know what his name was, but I believe it was Jesus. But whatever. But they had a lot of common themes in their experiences. And one of them is that they would have to watch their whole life and all the good things they did and watch how that had an effect, and all the bad things that they did and watch how that had an effect.
Mm. Wow.
And I believe when, you know, people say before you die, your life plays before you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we will be saved through grace. But I do believe that we will still have to give an account for our life.
Yeah.
And it won't be just the negative that we did. It will be the good that we were supposed to do that we never did. Like, how disappointing would that be?
Man.
That just sounds hurtful.
That does. I don't even want to talk about that.
But, yeah, that sounds
but
hurtful.
I
yeah.
want people to talk about it yeah. because I think it's true. And I want yeah. people not to be scared, but to be excited.
Exactly.
I believe that we're supposed to live not at a higher level of excellence in the world, but at a higher level of excellence in his kingdom. We are also called to, and I'm talking about myself too, but God has made us a lot more amazing than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more dynamic, and we are supposed to be making a bigger impact on this world than what most of us are doing. But we have bought into this capitalistic, divisive society.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
At all. Not at all.
Yeah.
That's the sad part too.
I don't have anything, but he gave us a lot. It's great. I'm still absorbing everything he just said. He just ministered to myself as well. You got anything for him, Pudge?
Nah, man. I mean, nah. I mean, because like I said, I already knew he was going to give a deep nugget off of what I said.
Yeah,
so I was just waiting.
Mm-hmm. No, we just sit back. We just ask him one question, sit back, and he just right. does the rest. It's an easy interview.
So where can that? You got a Bandcamp. Bandcamp. Listen to me. Sound not Bandcamp, but SoundCloud.
No,
right. No, Bandcamp was out doing MySpace.
Black Planet. No, just kidding.
What's the? Oh, man, look, I sound like an old man, not knowing the name. What is it, y'all?
SoundCloud.
Oh, I was right. SoundCloud.
You was right. Stop doubting yourself.
SoundCloud.
Yeah. So give me the information where, because y'all know, man, Brother Ward got like 9 albums out, man.
Yeah, I haven't been dropping official albums. I've just been dropping singles because I've been noticing the climate of how things are.
Mm-hmm.
And people are more focused on a song or a video.
Yeah.
And so it's harder for me to do videos, but I want to do a lot more music videos. And because that now it's even beyond just singles. It's video. It's
right.
visuals.
Right,
even
visuals.
Even if it's a simple visual. Visuals are the way to go.
And people can cope. It helps people understand the message in your song mm-hmm. when they can actually see a video that's in comparison to the actual song.
Yeah.
So that videos do actually help.
So that's why I'm more focused on trying on pushing my YouTube.
Gotcha.
Because I think that's going to be more my platform. I had a lot of activity on Facebook, but now the algorithms, they really trying to sell us ads. So they slowing down. I don't know if y'all noticed that.
I've noticed.
Facebook's been getting slow. And they doing it on purpose. They buffering it so that they can sell y'all ads or sell us ads. That's why they do it.
I won't be buying that.
Yeah.
That's a whole
negative. But anyway, I got a lot of activity still on Facebook. I got like 3 Facebook pages, 2 personal ones and 1 artist page.
Mm.
So check me out on there still. It's still viable. Good way to contact, interact with me. And that's, of course, look up Brother War, BRUTHAWAR. Basically, everything boils down to that. I have 2 SoundCloud pages, but Brother War Beats is more up-to-date SoundCloud page, and it's BEATZ. So if you just put BRUTHAWAR BEATZ, and I want to make my music available as an evangelism tool. And some people have taken me up on that in the past and passed out my CDs in other states, even in California.
Oh, wow, that's dope.
Yeah, I went to Cali and, I have a lot of stories like that. I went to California a couple years ago and I went to perform at a small church. And I had some, I have a guy that was a fan of my music who's also a Native American guy. And he came down to the hood in Sacramento and he brought some Native American fancy dancers and they were dancing while I was spitting. It was dope.
Wow.
It was crazy. So that was dope. They drove all the way down there just to perform with me. And I went to different spots around Sacramento. And but that was a couple years ago. And when I went to that first place, I had two separate individuals walk up to me and be like, look, I've been a fan of your music. Somebody gave me a burn CD. I just walking by, just handed it to me. Two different individuals. When I went, during the same period of time, that was a couple years ago, I went to Canada. And they have a lot of Native American people up there, too, as well. And so when I went up there, I did a video with this guy named Fresh IE and just a lot of interesting things. But through him, I found out my music was up in Canada. They were playing it on the... Like, he went to open up, he went to perform on a big, they call them reserves up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were spinning my music before, my mixtape at the time, before he performed.
Wow.
So my music does get out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just here and there. It's just like popcorn, like, I never know. I'll hear from people in Africa, Brazil.
That's dope.
That's amazing. So that's what keeps me motivated.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting story. So a couple years ago, I don't know how much time we have. What do we got? 2 minutes?
Yeah. You got 3 minutes to get this story.
Yeah, you got 3 minutes. Or okay. Do we need to do a part two?
No, it's okay. It's cool. I'll leave that story alone. We'll stick with the message. The message is what's most important. The story gets people's attention, but the message is what's most important. And the message that I want to deliver is that I believe, I don't know if you guys feel this too, because this is interesting. I believe we've been going through a series of shifting.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's most definitely.
Definitely since, remember, I think it was the Aztec or the Mayan calendar. Please forgive me, because those are my indigenous brothers. But yeah, one of them calendars, I think it was the Aztec calendar, I believe, or the Mayan. But anyway, what they said, it ended at 2012.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I didn't. Did people say, oh, it's the end of the world? No, I feel like it was the end of an age. Because I do think something shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been feeling a series of shifts since then.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Obama. Like, that was part of the change. And now we got someone like Trump in office. Not trying to get political.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these people, both of them, created a great change in the dichotomy in the social atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we are really, like, this year, like, the Hebrew calendar is different than our calendar. So we go by a different calendar than probably the Bible would.
Yeah.
But it's not just a year. It's a time period.
It's
and
an
I believe
age.
We're in that era and that time of imminent change. And I believe that if you are called to a ministry and you know it deep down and God has put a seed in your heart and you've been trying to do it and you've been trying to do it and you've been wanting to do it and you feel something bigger, I think now is the time for that.
Mm.
I think now is the time. And I think that now is the time for us as the body to shine like never before. I think that a lot of, I don't know it all and I'm just reading the little bit of information that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, if the economy collapses, some of us will be more wealthy than ever before in the kingdom. Like, the world is going one direction, the kingdom is going another direction.
I got you.
That's true.
So when I say wealthy people, I believe in prosperity. It's not money. Money is just one
entity of prosperity, right?
Yeah. Right. Prosperity is being at peace and operating and flowing in your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
T.D. Jakes said it very well. He said, I never wanted to be famous. I just wanted to be effective. And that's what I want to do. I want to be effective. And I think that another level of notoriety is the potential byproduct of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And it is time for us to go and get it.
Amen.
I'm with that.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, Brother War.
We appreciate signing it. Off.
Yeah, signing off. We got to get our shout outs out the way. But anyway, thank you for joining us once again, man. We appreciate you coming through. We definitely have to have you back, man.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes, sir. So, for all our listeners out there, this is Crosstalk Podcast. If you want to hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com, hit us up. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. If you want us to talk about something differently, just let us know. We're all about helping people and getting information out there.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you go to crosstalk.buzzsprout.com to every one of our episodes. If you hear this one, you can listen to any other ones. It's our 39th episode.
This will be 39.
39th episode. Yeah. So you got 38 other episodes if this is your first time hearing us. But thank you for all our other listeners, people who stick with us for every episode. So now we segue into the shout-outs. Pudge, you got anybody before I get started?
Nah, man. Go ahead.
So you don't love nobody out there?
I love everybody out there, good, man.
Good. I try to get you on that.
Still right. Good. I love everybody. You won't catch me on that one.
Good. All right. Shout out to Keisha, my wife. Shout out to my mom, who's always listening down in Great Georgia. Shout out to my homegirl, Brandy, who's always tuning in. Shout out to Graysonville, Maryland. Shout out to Atlanta, Georgia. Morrow, Georgia. Alicia down and out in Kanye's right, representing again.
You, bro.
San Antonio, Texas is on the map this week, y'all. Shout out to San Antonio, Stone Mountain, Georgia. St. Louis, Missouri, still rocking with us. And that's it, man. Thank you for everybody that's tuned in. And we still got the other countries that still rock. We got Bulgaria, Tokyo, Japan,
the usual
Australia, Tasmania.
You know.
But thank you for everybody who's always tuned in. Thank you for those who shared the episodes with other people. Thank you for those who keep us in prayer. Thank you for Brother War being our newest listener.
Yeah,
and our
right.
guest. Shout out to Brother War coming through with us. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Punch.
Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.